morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 16th. Joining us this morning, I know one, probably a little too well, but he's here supporting. Right? You're in a supportive role, Greg?
I am.
Good. That would be very concerning. And Karen Maynell from the Headwaters Fund. Good morning.
Thank you.
You think?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Oh, let's see if we can find a quote this morning. What do you think would be a good topic?
Prosperity.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Kansas, but we'll go with prosperity then. Money getting? No. Okay. Let's see if we can find anything about prosperity here that's applicable. Presidency? No, that's not going to happen. Okay. Prosperity. How about property? That's close enough for me. No man. Okay. This comes from R.W. Emerson. No man acquires property without acquiring a little arithmetic, too. Yeah. Very little in some of our perspectives. What, Karen, I guess for folks who haven't been here a long time, or let's say post-acquisition of the Headwaters, what is the Headwaters Fund other than something that's referenced periodically by government types?
Well, historically, the Headwaters Fund was created 14 years ago. To fund economic development.
It's been 14 years?
It's been 14 years. 2003 is when okay. The fund was created.
That was 14 years. Oh, I guess it was.
Yes.
Yeah, me and arithmetic, we go way back. Oh, 14 years now. Okay.
And so the goals of the fund are to stimulate the economy of Humboldt County through grants and loans.
Now, that was also the initial... Siler's going to love this one. I'm looking past you, Karen, right to Greg. That was the original premise of Redwood Park 1 and 2. Okay, that there was some offset because we knew communities were going to get hit. Some of the lumbering and the timber was going to go away. We ended up with Woodley Island being developed. And a lot of promises to cities like Oreck and Corbell and communities like Little River that really never seemed to pan out 100%. What makes the Headwaters Fund so different from Redwood Park 1 and 2?
Are you looking at me?
I'm Ryan? Looking at
You're
you,
looking
baby.
You're looking at me.
Because you've got historical.
Well, there are some dollars still from Redwood Park 1 and 2 that are in circulation through the REDEC, I believe. That's the Redwood Regional Economic Development Council. And together with REDEC, Headwaters Fund sponsors and supports lending operations. And so we, through a joint vehicle, we lend to businesses in the area that otherwise can't get bank loans. So they have really good business plans for the most part, but they don't yet have a sufficient asset base to get their business going with normal bank loans. And this
so good idea, no cattle.
Exactly. Okay. And essentially, that's created hundreds of jobs in the area over the 14 years. We call it the Revolving Loan Fund, but basically, it's loans for businesses that otherwise can't get bank loans. And it helps those businesses, those entrepreneurs, get off the ground and support the community through jobs.
Reported by the businesses, it's been over 200 jobs growth.
This is real numbers, not, well, we would have laid these people off, but.
No, right.
The funny duck numbers, yeah.
There's a larger number about jobs that would otherwise have been lost, but in terms of incremental jobs.
True real net exactly. Growth.
Yeah. The other difference is that the corpus is designed to kind of live on in perpetuity and provide grant funding for other projects. And so those grants have done some really important work in the area. Down in the Eel River Valley, dairy farmers were faced with new regulations about how they would handle surface water. Each dairy farmer would have had an onerous obligation under the new regulations if they were to go off and do it themselves. Through their own organizational efforts and the work that they presented to us to fund, Headwaters was able to enable them to build a project that saved possibly millions of dollars for that community and enable them to remain in compliance with the new regulations. And no one likes the new regulations, but it's always good when you can find a way to efficiently comply with them.
So what is the fund itself? I mean, how do you go about it? You guys have probably heard a gazillion times, you know, lots of good ideas. Not quite so many people that are willing to put their own skin in the game and risk it all. Is that what you're looking for when you're looking to fund some of these? A great idea, but somebody who's laying it all out there?
I think what we're looking for is an idea or a project that's going to be a catalyst for something larger down the road. Maybe put some seed money into something that's not going to grow in the future. We might also be looking to fund something that's across an industry or to help all the businesses in a certain geographic area. For instance, in the past, Willow Creek needed to upgrade their sewage septic system. And so that allowed the businesses that were already in Willow Creek to grow beyond what they were and to add new businesses because
here comes Oric
capacity.
Again. Maybe not to that extent, huh? Is there a ceiling or a cap? I mean, the big ask, is that something that's possible? Or do you try to kind of nibble off and do a percentage?
We have a variety of programs and funds. We already spoke about the revolving loan fund, which is available for businesses. We also have a couple different grant funds that are available to community-based organizations and government agencies. And it's those grant funds that operate in different ways. Generally, we allocate a certain amount each year for the grant fund. This coming fall, in fact, we're going to open up a grant round for $75,000.
And total or per?
Total. and then we have another fund called a community investment fund, which is more for infrastructure projects, and those are for some of those larger
governmental types.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Headwaters Fund is on the topic of discussion this morning. Karen is the executive director of Headwaters. Are you surprised at some of the asks? Overwhelmed, positive, excited? Or is it one of those, oh, gee, really? What's that like, kind of being a clearinghouse for a lot of people's ideas?
Well, I'm about to find out. I'm relatively new in the position, and so I haven't.
You didn't look back at the records.
I only see the ones that made it through the gate. So I'm looking to find out. I'm really excited about talking to people in our community about their ideas and how those ideas might fit within the charter of the Headwaters Fund.
Let me give you a hint. One of the things an EDs can always do: defer to the old guy in the crowd. Gee, Greg, you've got more experience than I. Why don't you share your opinions?
You know, the role of the executive director at the Headwaters Fund is a really, really important role to the community, I believe. One of the things that that role has historically been able to do is to be a little bit of a traffic cop of, you know, good ideas come in, but they're not necessarily appropriate for the fund. They might be really appropriate for another source of funding or another group that's got a similar activity going on. And that role of, I don't want to say traffic cop, that's a little, but that role of coordinating those activities is really helpful to the community. And, you know, we've seen a lot of projects come through. we see those filtered through the eyes of the and the kind of the interpretation of the executive director. And generally, we see a lot of good quality projects coming through. And some of them work out really well in implementation. And some of them, you know, they're risky projects and they didn't deliver as much. But for the most part, the role of the ED, you know, it's a really important role for the fund and for the community.
I can remember, Anna Sparks is the one who selected me. It had something to do with during the Clinton administration. There was some money. I don't know if it was PILT funds. Somehow it was timber related. It wasn't going to happen. And there was a group of us that said okay when asked to review. And there was all kind. And the project concept was employment. That was a goal. There was all kinds of goofy things. Tree farm. Okay, great. You're not going to employ more than two people in a tree farm, but you're asking for $300,000. You know, why don't we just give you each $50,000 for a couple of years and not worry about it, and we'd be ahead. When you guys and gals look at these projects, is there a ratio? Now, if it's brains research, okay, it's going to cost you more per person, obviously, than it is to open up a new ditch digging company. But is there some kind of a standard measurement that you look at?
I think there's somewhat of a standard that most people can stand behind. Roughly speaking, I would say a roughly $35,000 a year is what we would consider a adequate full-time position here in Humboldt County. So that's if we're looking at this project's going to create two jobs and it's a $100,000 project, you know, we might look at to see what else, what other benefits there might be besides two full-time jobs.
And so historically, we as a board have set out metrics that said we try to target across the portfolio spending roughly $35,000 per job is our per incremental job is a good metric. So if we invest $35,000, we want to see a permanent job resulting, at least one permanent job resulting, and
more than just the applicant.
Yeah, and when we look back, we find that we're exceeding that metric, or we're improved, or we're doing better than that metric. And so, a one-time investment of 35 to get a full-time ongoing job is a good trade-off. And in the industry of economic development, that's considered the benchmark.
You mentioned industries that trigger in my head. Obviously, you guys don't want to put all your money into one or two industries. You know, they could implode and crash and burn, and now everything goes bye-bye, and so do you. Is that a cross-reference point that you do? You don't want too many timber. You don't want too much fishing. You don't want too much boutique retail. You don't want too much this or that. Is that in that mix when you're looking at the portfolio?
Yes, that is definitely something we consider. We do want to touch on all the industries, and we do track that. And it also comes with its own resiliency in doing that. Our fund, you touched on this, it is to be managed in perpetuity. So it is our responsibility to make sure that there's always funds there as far as we can see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I hate putting myself in the corner like this. We got about 15 seconds here. Fine. La, 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 la. KINS. Okay. Is that enough of a tease to keep people through the break? I know Macaulay does it all the time. Does he keep your interest during the break? Yeah, okay. Greg's asleep. Fine. KINS, News and Information Time at 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Seiler from the. You're a board member.
I have
a title.
Yes. No, I'm a board member.
Just a board member.
Board member.
They don't have like president of the board or.
I am no
senior member of the board.
We rotate through the chairmanship on a regular basis,
okay.
Just like the board of supervisors does.
The guy who's responsible for the food.
No, I'm not
on the board.
It's a good thing I'm not responsible for the food.
And Karen Maynell. Karen is the executive director of Headwaters. Before the break, I had asked a question about industry mix and that was something that was there. It's part of the equation. Certainly, I get really tired and frustrated of always talking marijuana. I mean, it just seems it's so endemic in our area that you can't not talk about it. Is there a policy, formal or informal, either to support or not to support anything in the marijuana industry at this point?
At this point, there's nothing formal. I don't believe there's anything legally preventing us from supporting or contributing in some way to the industry. Our money isn't federal money, although it did partially come from the federal government. It doesn't no longer have ties to the federal government. However, our Headwaters Board is appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors has yet to give us guidance on that.
Oh, there are so many cheap shots just reared their opportunity.
There is a good guide, though, for industry
focus,
and that is there's an effort every few years, 4 or 5 years, there's an effort within the county to kind of set out a economic development strategy, and that strategy names industries and names some projects that would be nice to get done. And so we as a board use that guidance, that work, as a guidepost or a guardrail to kind of make sure that we're considering appropriate projects and appropriate industries. Now, new projects come up all the time and different things happen in different industries. And so it's not a rigid standard, but it's a really good guide for us. And it helps us stay focused broadly across the county, because after all, this is a county driven, or it's a community driven fund.
That's what I was wondering. Do the SUPs still have to approve? So they do have final say-so.
Yes.
Yes. Our Headwaters Board makes the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
Do they ever not go along?
In my experience on the board, we have not yet had pushback from the supervisors on anything. I think that's just speaks to how well-balanced they make the board, the Headwaters Fund Board. And I think we also all try to take the role pretty seriously. There's a lot of things to consider, but
so getting back to our industry niches, okay, you've got your checkoffs and you're looking. What do you see that's missing? Is there a glaring industry that hasn't come forth and said, "Hey, how about us? We need for whatever."
I haven't seen gaps in the industries so much. What I do see is that there are some financing gaps in kind of just regionally in Humboldt County, where there's not, where they're at certain sizes of projects, it's tougher to put together money for private industry up here. But I don't think that that's necessarily a gap in the fund or the applications that we get. There's also a little bit of a challenge in that we can loan money to businesses, but we can't grant money to businesses. So, or make an equity investment in a business. And so so there are certainly a ton of really good projects that just aren't suitable for the Headwaters Fund.
Just square peg, round hole kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, last month when I sat and Rob Barkley was in. And we were talking about infrastructure. And it was interesting, I guess, no surprise to anybody. My definitions are a little skewed from other people's. Infrastructure for me is roads, it's cops, it's fire guys. It's also internet. It's mm-hmm. also airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
It's also housing.
Mm-hmm.
Housing was the one that kind of seemed to be the new player in the mm-hmm. equation. You guys know, we don't have any housing here for a lot of folks who don't qualify for low rent this, fix mm-hmm. that. You got two jobs, sorry, we can't. Or you're paying more for an apartment than you would be for making a house payment, except, mm-hmm. Either they don't want it, the responsibilities or they can't afford the down. Things like that. Do you go looking for something? If it's identified, will you knock on the door of somebody saying, hey, we need, and talk to them? Or are you more of a reaction rather than a proaction?
Historically, we have very limited kind of self-developed initiatives. Not that we don't take the initiative to do things, but we just didn't have the charter to start our own initiative. So we are responsive to the community when ideas come up. Now,
but if you see a need, you don't go out after it.
We do solicit or mention or talk to groups that may have an idea around that. I believe through, you know, the executive director is constantly in the community listening to folks and trying to cultivate ideas. But we don't have a mechanism to develop an initiative.
Cultivate ideas. I love that. You're not running for anything, are you?
No, okay. I'm not. I mean, but our role as board members is also, we're supposed to keep our ear to the ground and talk to people about their ideas. So if people have ideas in these categories and it's suitable for the fund to investigate or look at, we love ideas to come in.
Yeah, we were kicking around, you know, for the entry level home between 150 and 200, it ain't. There just isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, normally you would think that the private sector would step in, but with so much governmental subsidization in our area and some of the chits that are developed in the secondary markets for those, you know, the guys that aren't playing, it doesn't make any sense for them to play in there. Even though the market needs it, it just isn't there.
It costs a heck of a lot to permit a new build. Right, to create that housing.
Even outside the coastal zone.
That's right.
Yeah, welcome to California. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We shall return.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Maynell and Greg Seiler from the Headwaters Fund. It kind of sounds formal, doesn't it? They came from the Headwaters. Karen, what's the biggest misnomer that you've run into going around the neighborhood talking about the Headwaters?
Oh, let's see. I've heard a lot of different things. I think that we give grants to just about anybody would probably be the biggest one. You know, that you as a person, we would give you a grant, or as a business, we can give a grant. But we really are prohibited from giving the public funds to private individuals or private business. So I think that's probably the largest one.
So you're saying put away the file that I just worked out?
That's right.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration. Greg, how about you? When you tell folks you're on the board, is it a head scratcher?
You know, I get a lot of questions and a lot of comments around kind of the purpose of the fund and how it's used, and really, I like to. Talk about the things that the fund's been responsible for accomplishing. Actually, the community's been responsible for accomplishing using funds that are enabled because of the Headwaters Fund. And I think when we get into that dialogue, there's a lot more common ground than kind of looking at it from outside and saying, and commenting about it. As we look at some of the successes, those successes speak for themselves.
The dairy farmer's story that you shared, is that the biggest, greatest, coolest?
You know, no, it's not. There's
you love these technical
cool
things, don't you, Karen?
You're making making up words.
No, just hyphening unrelated together, yeah.
You know, I think that there are a number of examples. I'm not cataloging exactly, you know, all of them, but I think there's a significant the fisheries ice plant down on the bay enabled a lot of jobs. There's the I think we've probably many of us have seen the Carson Block building in Old Town together with us and our partners. There was we've funded the construction and renovation of the Carson Block the renovation of the Carson Block. Sequoia Park Zoo has some recently was recognized for its otter exhibit nationally and globally. We've helped the Sequoia Park Zoo Foundation with funding projects there. Open Door Clinics, the facilities that are here in Eureka as well as other jurisdictions, we've worked with Open Door Clinics to enable those construction projects. So, and that's primarily on the lending side. There are other examples that I'm.
we granted money to fund a management plan for the McKay Tract in hoping to massage that McKay Tract into something that would be a community resource as far as recreation and tourism and hopefully some economic growth with having a harvest plan of some type that would sustain.
Tree. Harvest plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. 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 We just got to check in.
Yeah. We also funded the construction of a couple incubator kitchens at Redwood Acres to help a couple of businesses out there grow. And since then, Redwood Acres has just taken off with other projects of their own.
Yeah. Between that and the hydroponics thing that those schools are doing, it's like all of a sudden that's kind of like the cool place to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's one of the businesses that went into those kitchens is now, a national company with contracts with Walmart and Safeway and Whole Foods nationally. Then that's Rosa Dixon and Malia Lando over at Natural Decadence. And so that infrastructure has been leveraged.
Cool, cool, cool. Neat stories. If folks want to find out more,
best way to do that.
Call Karen. I saw
you
that.
You can do that. You can call me. Or you can visit our website. It's humboldtgov.org/headwaters.
Got to go through the county. Okay. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.